Who is Jesus Christ to you? Well, he seems to be many things to many people. But if you will follow along with us in our study today, I think you will realize from the inspired Word of God that he is the only begotten Son of God, our Savior from sin. Turning our attention to the first chapter of John's Gospel again, I want to consider verses 29 through 34. A new day had dawned, and once more John the Baptist took his place before the multitude to proclaim his message of repentance. Suddenly, the long-anticipated event occurred. John lifted his eyes from the faces of his interested listeners and exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world!" What joy must have flooded John's heart! What excitement must have swept over the multitude of quiet listeners as suddenly every eye is focused in one direction. At last, the Messiah had come. John described the Lamb as the one who taketh away the sin of the world. Christ did not come to be a wise teacher to instruct men and women how to overcome sin. He came to be God's eternal remedy for sin by providing an escape from it, by willingly offering up his life to die on a cross. The innocent suffered for the guilty, bearing the sins of all who would be willing to believe on him. Christ, who his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. When John declared Christ to be the one who taketh away the sin of the world, he did not mean that Christ provided universal salvation. Not all are saved because Christ died on the cross. The way was made possible for all mankind to be saved, but not without personal responsibility. Man must exercise personal faith in Christ to receive salvation. For this reason, man is without excuse. God has made the entire provision for sin. The shedding of the blood of the Lamb on the cross was the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose for the redemption of sinful man. Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Not only did he die on the cross for sin, but for all those who know him as Savior and Lord, he daily taketh away all present defilement. He cleanses, purges, and keeps us clean, so that we might be a holy people for God. Unclean thoughts, overt acts, unkind words defile and hinder the testimony of the believer. But as we go to the Lord and confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The believer need never stay out of fellowship with God, for Christ taketh away all sin as we go to him in humble repentance. John emphasized the importance of Christ's humanity. "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Christ is the Son of God, but he is also a man. He is different from other men in that he existed from eternity. We must not overlook the import of the words "preferred before me." Not only do they mean that Christ in his position as God's Son was exalted above John, but even more, Christ had a priority claim on John. How favorably God's servant reacted to this great truth. He realized that he was not his own, that he belonged to Christ. That is why he was out in the wilderness, willing to die, if need be, to prepare the way for Christ. Doubtless every true believer would be willing to admit that Christ is higher than any one of us in position. But how few of us have realized Christ's prior claim and let him lead us as he desires. As Savior, he is higher in position, but as Lord, he is the possessor. Few of us have recognized Christ's lordship experientially. This is the place Christ desires and the place he should have in the life of every believer. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he asks, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? John says further, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. From these words it seems that John the Baptist did not possess the certainty that Jesus was the Messiah until Christ's baptism. It was then that he heard the voice of God saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Following this experience, John went forth to fulfill his divine mission, assured that Jesus Christ was the true Messiah. Many stories are told about Jesus performing miracles as a child. If this were the case, John the Baptist would have readily recognized him as the Messiah earlier in life. Yet though John had known Christ all those years, he did not recognize him as the Messiah until later. Many in our day are guilty of this same oversight. They are familiar with spiritual truth, but they have never experienced the truth. In many cases, they have been reared in Christian homes, attended Bible-teaching churches, but have never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. One may know the way of salvation, yet be lost for failing to believe. John described Christ's baptism, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see this Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. No one need argue with John as to Christ's authority, for he said, I saw. He had visible evidence of the fact that Christ was the Son of God, the true Messiah. It is for this reason that he bare record. One who has had a real experience with God cannot keep quiet about him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Matthew tells us. John tells us that he saw a vision of the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven in the form of a dove. It should not be thought that the Holy Spirit had not dwelt with Christ prior to this time, but this was a visible sign given at the inception of Christ's earthly ministry. Again, John made the statement, I knew him not, revealing his lack of knowledge of Christ's identity until the time of our Lord's baptism. It was after this knowledge became perceptible to John that he was commissioned to go forth and baptize with water. But he made it clear that Christ's mission was far greater. John merely baptized with water, but when the Messiah appeared, he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John came baptizing the body, but Jesus came baptizing the heart. John's was a baptism of preparation, while Christ was a baptism unto salvation. The baptism Jesus provided is experienced at the very moment one is born again. How tragic that many church people have been baptized with water, but they have never known the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The penitent thief who hung on the cross by the side of Christ probably had never been near a church. It is quite reasonable to believe that he had never been touched by baptismal waters, but he was baptized by the Holy Spirit on the basis of his surrender and commitment to Christ, and he went to heaven. Water baptism is not a requisite for salvation, but the baptism by the Holy Spirit is. And so I say to you, if you've never received Christ, you have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. You are lost and condemned to eternal hell. You need Christ in your life. And you can only know Christ as you turn to him by faith and trust him as your Savior and Lord. And if you will invite him right now to come into your heart and save you, he will do it. Just ask him in your own words, and he will respond. Blessed Lord, may this be a red-letter day in many lives. As commitments are made to Jesus Christ, may Satan be subdued and may the Holy Spirit take full control. It shall be a joy and a blessing to us as we praise you for this great salvation. In the name of Jesus, May many be able to do that now. I ask for your glory. Amen.